These are just overviews. The MAFB Act is a goal. It's not a quota. We obviously are not constrained in establishing higher goals if the board wishes, and you do. The competitive seal bid is the preferred mode of procurement. It's a high standard, but all bids have reviews, and they must be responsible and responsive. On the responsive side, that means if we have a requirement of goals to reach, then they need to respond that way and not ignore. That doesn't mean they make them, but they have to make a response to the requirement of the goal. The law also doesn't allow bidders now to cure deficiencies. And what that means is a couple of examples. If they make an incorrect calculation of the minority and female business participation percentage on bid forms, they cannot cure that. So if they made a mistake when they submit their bid, that could be a material deficiency and they might throw the bid out, may not. Or if they improperly identify a vendor as a certified MAFB firm, and when we get the good faith documentation in our process, it is proven to be false or something has not occurred. Those are two areas where they cannot go back and cure any of those deficiencies that they put in their bid form, in their bid submission. The bidders, the last point means that we will have a form where they are required to identify, and there's a couple of state laws that have just come into effect that strengthen this requirement, that they will identify on their bid submittal for each award, contract award that we're going forward with, their minority and female business enterprise subcontractors and suppliers when they submit their bid. There's a couple things it does. This is not in law. It flows from your ability to determine and stop them from curing a deficiency. So for them to cure a deficiency means you have to have something to assess that against. And so the way that we operate to make that happen is we require them to document on their bid submittal what they're doing with MAFB subcontractors. This also prevents finding MAFB subcontractors post-bid, and significantly, at least from the legislative history, it prevents bid shopping MAFB subcontractors before the contract is awarded. So it's set. Whatever they put in there is what they are going to do. Next. Now, as we go forward with this, when they are doing their bid submission and they are handling their form, they may request on that form a change in or a waiver of the project-specific MAFB goal. So our base goal is 15%, all sites except Chicago, 22% in Chicago. If a bidder has gone through and says, okay, I'm gonna make 18%, I only got to 18, or maybe I only got to 12, I articulate that, I identify the MAFB subcontractors that I'm gonna deal with, and then I will check that I want a change in or waiver from the goal, and I'll submit my bid. For us to accept that change or waiver, meaning they did not achieve the goal that was articulated in the bid documents, they must document that they demonstrated good faith effort. They must provide us with documentation of what they did. This is the key in our ability to assess the sincerity and reasonableness of what they presented to us in their bid. The board's expectation will be actualized through the initiation of a process to establish good faith effort review of prime contractors' bid submission and documentation to determine whether a low bid will be accepted or rejected. That's a recommendation for acceptance or rejection. We went through about a 6-month period of detailed interaction with the Capital Development Board, IDOT. We did a thorough review. Dr. Coleman did this work of many municipalities, other states that handled this kind of activity under different names. And what we found was, and the reason we did that, is we wanted to test and understand some of the pitfalls that may have arisen as these other entities, in particular Capital Development Board, went through as they initiated their process. And we also wanted to understand and emulate, if we can, good parts of a process that made sense. So we weren't reinventing the wheel. We're not exactly the same. I will tell you, one of the big differences in how we're going to operate is we operate under high aspiration goals. That means that we will be doing a lot of good faith effort process. And that's okay. That's what we're talking about. Because you want to change culture. If all we did was, okay, each project we're going to go with the data that we have and set a goal that we know we're going to meet, that's not, unless the board's intent is different, that's not the way I took the intent of what the board wanted to try and accomplish in the long run. So we are different from some of our peer groups, CDB and others, in that we're going to hold those high aspiration goals out there and we're going to change culture over time for acceptance of that. Next. These are very short, some of the guidelines that we're going to put in for our process. Any project with a construction budget greater or equal to $250,000, irrespective of funding source, that means anything that we use, whether it's auxiliaries, any other type of funding that we may have, will have requirements for good faith documentation. Now that, by rule of thumb, comes out to about a project budget. It's usually a 70-30 sort of split between construction and non-construction of about $360,000. So there's a lot of activity that we're going to be dealing with here. Project goals may be higher than base goals. That means if we know as we go through this that there's capacity in certain areas of MAPI firms or the size of the project may enable us to do something different, then we have the ability to adjust that. We could say a higher goal in a project, maybe go to 25 or 26. It's a dynamic process. It requires us to know what we're doing and what the project is. And over time, we're gonna continually get better at that because we're gonna have more and more data that we're gonna have of experience from the capital projects that we do. And project goals may have differential goals between minority and female vendors. So say we have a 15% goal or 22% goal in Chicago, we may choose a project and do a different cut on that. Might go to 12 minority, 10 female, or vice versa. It's dynamic. And so that you understand clearly, we've already developed our policies and procedures. We're in reviewing them now. We will be reviewing them now with the campus units. And our contract document system allows us to make those changes. As we develop contracts, as we develop bid specs, if we are changing a goal, we can make the baseline change within the document. And we understand when we do the split that the capacity of minority and female vendors are regionally variable. And we will continually monitor our utilization to balance the award volume and utilization as we go through. Last. So here's the outcomes. The first two we've talked a little bit about. They really underpin the request to strive for high aspiration goals. The second two are some might call negative, but I think they're a reality that we talk about.